Good morning, everyone. Did you get a copy of the words? If you didn't, we're still working away at our video project. Brother Tom has been working away. Our first TV is in, and we'll be working on mounting, and we've got more TVs coming. So the end is in sight. The project is moving ahead, but you still need your words if you didn't get them. They're on the back table, and amen. If you would stand with us, please. Thank you.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. We are children of your mercy, rescued for your glory. We cry, Jesus, turn our hearts toward you, that every eye will see you lifted high. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. You alone are Savior. Show the world your love.
King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name.
King of heaven, come.
King of heaven, come down.
King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come.
King of heaven, rise up.
Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come.
Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise your name, Lord Jesus. King of heaven, come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want him to return one day, but we want him to come now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come now. Come invade our sanctuary today, Lord. We welcome your presence, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come and do all the things that only you can do when you're here. Heal the sick. Oh, touch hearts and lives. Change hearts and minds. Do it, Lord. Bring deliverance to the captives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We believe you for it, Lord. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. Your people cry out, Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name.
Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. At your name, the morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your story. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Lord of all the earth,
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord. There is no one like our God, we will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
There is no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
There is no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. There is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, we will sing. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Oh, we praise your name, we praise your name. Oh, God. Shout your name.
Oh, thank you.
Praise your name. Mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. Praise your name. Oh, praise your name. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. We believe you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise, for my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles.
Let faith arise. Let
faith arise.
In spite of what I see,
Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles.
Let faith arise.
See the kingdom come, I lift my eyes. For the battle has been won, my God is faithful. Oh, and every single word he said is true. Oh, God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There is nothing impossible. This world is shaking, but you cannot be shaken. My heart is breaking, but I'm not broken yet. Your love is fearless. Help me to be courageous too. There is nothing impossible for the God of miracles. Come, we need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles.
Oh, Jesus, we believe you today. You'll come and do a miracle.
God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles.
Oh, God, we believe you, Jesus, today. Oh. Come and do a miracle in our midst, Lord Jesus. Oh, we welcome you, Lord. Oh, Rabbi, we welcome you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you, Lord. Oh, we welcome you, Lord Jesus. Santo Rabbi, Kite. In our church, we believe in words of prophecy and utterances in tongues. And if God is stirring your heart this morning and you have something, we encourage you to share whatever the Lord has spoken to you to speak forth to the body. Thank you, Father. Oh, Rababakite, praise your wonderful name. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Harababakatai. Hayaramandai. Hayakite. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, praise your name, Lord God. Yantorororobokatai. Handoro mamaria ketere. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to sing the first verse of that last song one more time. Let faith arise and believe for the impossible. God can do it. Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. For my champion's not dead, he is alive.
Oh, glory to God!
And he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me. God of miracles, come. We need your supernatural love to break through. Nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles. God of miracles, Lord. Oh, we believe you, Lord. Move in your might and your power. Oh, God of miracles. Oh, we praise your name. Praise your name, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we believe you, Lord. Jesus.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song.
Let the King of my heart,
let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom from my life. Oh, he is my song.
You are
good, good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song.
You are
good, good. Oh, you are good, good.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down.
Good. Oh, you are good. the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song.
You are
good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good.
Is he good?
Amen.
He is good. Oh, glory, glory to his name.
Can I say something? I just want to, it's a kind of a weird testimony and an encouragement, hopefully. For years, David struggled with giving out like prophetic words in between like songs or something like that. And so many times I felt like he had something. Like I felt like the Lord was giving me, I didn't know what to call it, but maybe it was word of knowledge or word of wisdom or something, that he had something. But I wouldn't say anything because I felt like he needed to step out, you know. I was like, what are you going to do, elbow, you know? Because I wasn't sure either. Like, I wasn't really sure. Like, I thought, maybe it sounds like, I feel like he's got something. But I told him, and I said, you better give it because I keep getting this feeling. And as he...
She was right.
Yeah, every time he'd say after church, oh, I had something and I was too afraid to give it. Oh, I had something today. I'm so ashamed. I feel so bad. I'd say, don't feel bad. Just do it next time. But then, excuse me, he started getting, you know, braver and speaking out. Well, you know, it is. You've got to have courage, you know, to do something like that. So anyway, now it's more like when we're worshiping, I sometimes feel like somebody out there has something. But I don't say anything because I think, well, if the Lord gives them the strength, they'll give it, you know. But I felt like a little encouraged today. I thought, why don't I just say, I think the Lord has something from somebody. Like, I could say that. And maybe that would encourage people to go ahead and say what they have in their hearts. So this is me stepping out. Like, I have to now say, I think somebody has something. And then if nobody says something, I'll just like, okay, Lord. I was wrong or something. But so if I say something and you have something, please say it. Okay. It doesn't happen like every week or anything. It's just every once in a while.
There is a gift of discerning of spirits. It's one of the nine. It's not the gift of discernment.
It is the gift of discerning of spirits. And what Carol is saying is that she's hearing the Holy Spirit discerning that there's something going on. And I heard it this morning, and I wasn't expecting her to share all of that. But I heard it myself. And you know, if the Lord gives you a prophetic word, I said it once before, years and years ago in this church, but back in Chamberlain Street. And I sat at the piano, and I knew that there were people that God was giving a prophetic word in the body to, and they were afraid to give it. Whatever it was, they were either unsure or, is this really God? And I stood up and I said, if God has given you a prophetic word and you don't give it, that's not love. It's not love. You're robbing God's people of something that he wants to say. But what if I'm wrong? Well, what if you are? What if you say God loves you and it wasn't really the Holy Spirit? Does God still love us? Yes! You know, unless you preach heresy, it's probably going to be okay. But if you step out and you speak the word of the Lord and it encourages somebody and builds them up, that's important. Go ahead.
I did have that feeling today, but Randy gave it, so I didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah. I did too. And I was certain that there was a prophetic word, but I'm not certain that she was the only one. I'm not certain that she was the only one. But Pastor Dave, did you hear my wife? She shared my struggle. I always get embarrassed when she shares my struggle. Like, don't do that. But as a young Christian, it was scary to step out. And, you know, you're saying, this is what the Lord is saying. Like, you're talking for God? What if I'm wrong? Well, what if you are, you know? I have been in places where I have heard prophetic words that were so off the wall. Just crazy, crazy. One place, somebody stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, I am not here. What is that? Another one, somebody stood up and said, thus saith the Lord, I know that your body is here, but your mind is not here. In your mind, you're watching television, and on the screen is gun smoke. You know, so, you know, crazy things can come, but the church doesn't fall down. And I don't think anybody's going to give anything like that. And there's safeguard in the church. So if you feel the Lord is giving you a word, take a step in faith and speak it out. Nurse, my wife is saying, children that would like to go to nursery or to children's church, away they can go if you would like. Okay, so anyway, I am aware that there's some testimonies. Oh dear, tell me I didn't just shut this off. Okay, did you have something you wanted to share, Kevin?
What is a bridge?
What is a bridge? Oh, it's just a little in-between part that bridges you from a verse to a chorus. That's just a musical term. I don't know why they use it. That's a contemporary term. Yeah. Sister Sherry, you had a testimony, right? You got to hold the mic right up, or we won't hear you. It has to be right like that. There you go.
I'm just going to read, okay? Because my favorite season is spring, I wanted to look up some scriptures about spring, and I found a few. One is in Deuteronomy 32:2. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. There's another one in Job 29:23. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. And I want my heart to be tender to the Lord, and I want to be able to have my ears really hear what he's saying. And there's another one in Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It is the Lord who sends the thunderstorms like we had today. He gives showers of rain to all people and plants of the field to everyone. One more in Genesis 8:29. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Someone said, no winter lasts forever, and no spring skips its turn. And these all speak of God's love and his mercy and his grace over us. But I guess I had never thought about his words falling like, it's hard to explain, but I like that comparison.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. We've been talking about, like Pastor Day said, to step out. Well, the Lord is using me to talk to someone else. And not always, but I talked to the Lord all day long. And I did. I went to this person and I told him and everything. And even today I have something to tell him. So if you do have, I asked Pastor Dave, why me? Why me? And he says, nobody knows who he uses, why he uses, and when he uses. So I'm happy with it. It's very nice. It's a very nice feeling that he wanted you to correspond with somebody. Mm-hmm. And I do. When I get the message, I do give it to the person.
Amen. Judy shared with me one Sunday, and she had a word of knowledge for somebody. She had a word. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And I think she was right. God knew. So be faithful as God speaks to you. Be faithful and do it. Carl, go ahead.
I was gonna introduce my grandson and my daughter to the church, but they're in the nursery. That's Skylar and that's Cashton. So she caught me on Thursday, I think it was, and she said, Dad, I think I'm going to come and see you this weekend. And okay, love to have you. So they popped in Friday when I was at work. So I got off of work about 9:30 Friday night, and they were there. It's been a great weekend, and we're driving back to Buffalo today, and I'm going to visit my dad. But I had this, word. You don't have to be perfect for the Lord to receive you. I kind of wanted her to hear that. You know what I mean? Because I was just sitting there, and that's what came upon me, because my kids don't really know what I do. They don't see this side of me. So when they do, they're like, it's probably my dad's clapping loud and my dad's singing and ain't paying me no attention. But two Sundays and I think it's 1 month, my other daughter showed up, and it's been years. So that means something.
That's victory. Amen. And we continue to pray for them. Oh, God. Amen. All right, I have a few prayer requests, but one quick praise. I don't think I ever got to report to you. A few weeks ago, we took an offering for the Rehema home for what Shay Reagan called not an emergency, but an urgency that they really needed help. And our little Wellsville Full Gospel Church sent an offering for $3,400. Glory be to God. Oh, Shay just could hardly believe it. It was such a blessing. Glory to God. Thank you for sharing and for doing that. We're laying up treasure in heaven. It's treasure in heaven. Glory to God. I have a couple prayer needs this morning. We want to remember Tom's sister. You have to tell me her name again. Kathy. Tom's sister Kathy's been diagnosed with ALS. He had the opportunity to go out, and he preached the word to her. He did. He shared testimonies of God's healing and shared from the scriptures. And they laid hands on her and prayed. And I want us to join with him in that prayer and believe God to heal his sister and deliver her from ALS. Curtis Corky is here today. We're going to keep praying for you, but air hugs for Curtis. Air hugs. If you feel the... Yeah. You can hug Randy. If you feel like you can vicariously hug Curtis through Randy. Yeah, he's guarding that shoulder pretty carefully, but praise God. It's good to see you back, Curtis. We've missed you a lot. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up our brother, Tom's sister, Kathy, Lord. Father, we pray for a mighty deliverance to come to her, Lord, as a testimony of your healing power, that you are not only a God far off, but you are a God near, and you care about Kathy, and you want to touch her and bring deliverance to her life. Father, we pray for a miracle, that you would destroy that ALS in her body and bring healing and deliverance. We rebuke that awful parasitic disease. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. Be gone from her body, Lord. We pray that you would release her and encourage your heart, Father, in all those scriptures that Tom shared. I pray that her faith would arise and she would be able to believe you and look to the Lord Jesus for her help. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless Curtis, that you would heal that shoulder, Father, and protect it. Give him back that shoulder, Father, and that mobility. I pray that you would bless him and continue to bring blessing to their home. Thank you for your grace that helps us to get through all of these things. Oh, you're so good, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, last week I started to share on the topic of worship, and I had a very different idea of where I was going to go with this than the way the Lord keeps prompting me and pushing me. So I thought we'd be talking about, you know, worship and charismatic worship and gifts of the Spirit manifesting and singing in the Spirit, which we may do all of those things, and how we worship and clap and rejoice. And but the Lord's still taking me in a little different avenue. So this may not sound all like worship to you, but it all affects our worship, and I want to look at it. Last week, we began talking about what worship is, and we talked about the first recorded worship service in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to revisit that this morning. If you have your Bible, we're in Genesis 4, and I'm going to actually read verses 1 through 12. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man, she said. Later, she gave birth to Cain's brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep
while Cain was a tiller of the soil. So in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord, while Abel brought the best portions of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but he had no regard for Cain and his offering. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Why are you angry, said the Lord to Cain, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you refuse to do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires you, but you must master it. Then Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I do not know, he answered. Am I my brother's keeper? What have you done? Replied the Lord. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will no longer yield its produce to you. You will be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. So, really, really positive and exciting portion of Scripture for us to begin with this morning when we talk about praise and worship. Remember that we talked last week about the two offerings and how one seemed to be received and the other was not. And remember that whether our what we bring is not so vitally important as how we do it, what we do, how we perceive it, are we received, all of that is not really the object. What the object is that is God pleased? Is God the target audience for our worship? Because our worship is not for us. It's for God. And I used the illustration last week of the man who left church and looked at his pastor and said, I didn't really like the worship service today. And the pastor said, that's okay, we weren't worshiping you. And obviously, the truth of that is, it isn't about us. We don't come about what we can receive. Yes, we want to receive. Yes, we do come and we do ask. But ultimately, we're called to worship Him, to see that He's pleased, to see that His name is lifted up. I remember years ago, a revival broke out. I heard about how revival broke out in an area, and it all started in this one house. They were having a house meeting, and all of a sudden, something happened, and the presence of God came down on that house, and they started having meetings there, and the house was jammed. Packed full of people, and they had people outside looking, pressing their faces up in the window. People were peering in all the windows. It was kind of creepy. Wherever you looked, there was people trying to get in because of the power of God. But and they were in there. All they were doing is they were worshiping. But what they were singing? They didn't have a lot to sing. They didn't have worship people. They were singing songs like, Father Abraham had many sons. That's what they were singing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it. That's what they were singing, but the power of God was coming down because they were worshiping God. You know, you can have the greatest praise band. You can have the most awesome, you can have the fog machine and the lights and the huge stage and the best singers, and you can put on the whole thing. But if it's a show and the object and target audience is not God, there's going to be no real life in it. And I've been in places where they have awesome, amazing equipment. But you look for the anointing. Where's the anointed worship? And sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. It's all about the target. Who's the target? Are we trying to make worship something that everybody can get into and enjoy and have a great time and enjoy the lights and the set? No, it's not for us, it's for Him. Ah. Glory to God. It's about Him. So last week we talked about make sure that God is pleased with your offering. He's the target. This week I'd like to say, make sure that God is pleased with your attitude. Ooh. Genesis 4:5 records Cain's sinful response to God's rejection of him and his worship. It says, Cain was very angry and his face fell. He wasn't depressed. He was angry. He was mad. He was boiling mad. When God confronted Cain with his unacceptable worship, Cain could have confessed and repented. He could have just said, oh God, forgive me. But he didn't. He got angry. He got indignant. He was the one who labored. He worked hard for that offering. He's the firstborn. He brought in the works of his hands. What did Abel bring? Abel brought one of his precious animals and sacrificed it. Cain brought all of his good works, all of his hard work up to the Lord. He could have repented. Verses 5 through 7 show us God's holy response to Cain's sinful anger. In verse 5, but he had no regard for Cain and his offering, and Cain got angry. God says, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? You know, it's a divine warning to us, teaching us to make sure that God is pleased with our attitude in worship. There's three ways here that God confronted Cain about his attitude. Number one, God confronted him with a question about his sinful response. Verse 6, why are you angry? Now, did God not know? God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows anything and everything. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Yet, sometimes God asks questions. Why? To probe the person he's questioning. To kind of probe. To say, why? Okay, what are you angry about? What's going on here? Talk to me. At school, I do that with kids all the time. I'm like, okay, do you think that whopping Susie made her happy? Did it, look at her face, you know? I'll ask them questions. God does that. And not for his own information, but you remember when Adam sinned, God said, where are you? He knew where Adam was. God asked Cain, why are you angry? God knew what was in Cain's heart and knew why Cain was angry better than Cain did. And you know what? God knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in there. He knows if somebody comes and sings the praises of God and then goes home and has roast leg of pastor for lunch. I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't. Have roasted pastor for lunch, or you get in your car and then you start talking about, you know, your stupid boss and how he did this or that, or that elected official and what's wrong with on and on and on, you know. James 3:10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Oh boy. So on the one hand, we can praise God, and on the other hand, we can curse people who are made in God's image. That's what we're warned against. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God is very, very interested in our attitude, and he questioned Cain. Now, secondly, God confronted Cain with an affirmation of God's goodness. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? This question shows us that God had determined that Cain had, in fact, not done well. But it also shows that God's rejection of Cain's Worship was not cruel, it wasn't prejudiced, and it wasn't unfair. It also wasn't rooted in predestination. There's no some kind of favored election here. I'm sorry. The acceptable way was open to both Cain and Abel. And we cannot blame God for Cain's rejection, and we can't blame God when we're judged as well. We cannot, there's no blame of God. Remember, it says that we sin when we are tempted and drawn away by our own flesh and enticed. Thirdly, God confronted Cain with a warning about his sin. Verse 7, he says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you refuse to do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires you, but you must master it." Cain had a choice right here. He could quickly recover. He could have just quickly repented. He could have. It could have been done from his unacceptable worship, or it could get worse. But Cain could not claim ignorance. It's not my fault. You remember Adam? At least Adam took some responsibility. Yeah, I ate the fruit. But this woman that you put in here gave it to me. So, you know, in a roundabout way, saying, yeah, I did it, but it's your fault. So if Cain chooses to go further in sin, and he will go in knowing full well what he's doing. Scripture said, if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. And you know, if you step outside the safety of God's will, sin is waiting to attack like a wild animal. It's crouching at the door. It's waiting. Its desire is for you, the scripture says, and that desire literally means control. Its desire is to control you, but you must rule over it. God warns Cain about sin's attack to get him and his need to stand up to it. The problem with sin. Here's the problem with sin. We can't rule over it on our own. Just, have you tried? Did you try before you got saved to break the habits of sin in your life? I did. I read this book, Psycho Cybernetics. That was a hot book at the time. And it's like if you did this thing, you know, you would become a better person. And all it did was make me mad. Because I tried doing these things and it doesn't work. You can't do it. We can make cosmetic changes, you know. The scribes and Pharisees, Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombs. You know, it looks great on the outside, and inside it's full of stinking decay and ouch. Ooh. So, and our heart is deceitful. But despite God's warning, Cain pressed on in his sin. Anybody ever hear of the author Philip Yancey? He is a famous Christian author. Most of his books were written in the 70s, but he had a friend who came to him and actually said this. He said, "I'm planning to commit adultery." Can you imagine actually coming to say coming to somebody and saying that? "I'm planning to commit adultery. Do you think God will forgive me?" Now, there's some real problems here. Yancey said, "Well, of course God could. Read your Bible. David, Peter, Paul. David committed murder. He committed adultery. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Paul persecuted the church." Yeah, he could. But the problem is that what you have to go through to commit sin distances you from God. And you may be here standing today saying, I want to do this. Will God forgive me? But then if you actually go and commit that sin, that changes you. Something changes in your heart. And when you get to that point, you may not want it. You may not want the forgiveness anymore. You may not want to come back and repent. Do you see the deceitfulness of the sin? When you step into it, it begins to change you. It takes it. Yancey said, you asked me about forgiveness now, but will you even want it later, especially if it involves repentance? Ouch. So do you see the problem with sin? And the enemy will come to you. He won't come to you and say, oh, not likely. I mean, maybe, I don't know. It's not likely he's going to come to you and say, go rob a bank. But he's likely to come and tempt you with something little, you know, just a little thing. Because one little thing opens the door to the next little thing and the next little thing. Tempts you with little things. Make sure that God is pleased, we said, with your offering and with your attitude. Make sure that God is pleased with your relationships. This account warns us about the power of sin, but it also warns us about the progression of sin. We just talked about it. Cain's first sin of unacceptable worship, because he didn't repent, led to the second sin, premeditated murder. Ouch. Don't ignore the warning. The consequence of sin is sin. And look when the first murder happened, right after the first worship service. Yow! One of the greatest crimes I see in the world today is infighting in the church. When people turn on the pastor and the pastor turns on the people and brother and sister turn on each other. That's like the sin of murder. I'm sorry if anybody hates their brother in their heart. That is a crime in the church. And how do we worship through that? Oh, come and pretend. If you don't repent, one sin quickly leads to another. James 1, 14 and 15. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's lured away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't play with sin. It will beat you. Sin is stronger than you and I are. It is. It is stronger than you and I are. The saying Tom has always told me, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. Did I get it right that time? Oh. And we see this in Cain's rejection of God's authority. He rejected God's authority in two ways. Number one, he murdered Abel, premeditated murder in verse 8. But then, secondly, Cain mocks God. God says, where is your brother? And he goes, I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. What a snarky answer to give to God. Yow! I'm not my brother's keeper. It's not my problem, not my fault. Why are you the boss of me? Oh, kids say that at school all the time. Why are you the boss of me? Because I'm your teacher, that's why. Cain refused to acknowledge his sin or his responsibility toward Abel. The question, am I my brother's keeper? Absolutely he is. Absolutely he's his brother's keeper. Cain's response is like the dominant philosophy of today. We believe our lives are private. We're told our lives are private. We're all the time, they say, well, what people do in their private lives, it doesn't affect anybody else. Oh, yeah, it does. That's not what the Scripture teaches. What did the law of Moses teach about community living? Just even in the Old Testament, Moses taught a godly community standard. We are our brother's keeper. And in the New Testament, we're called to love each other, to forgive each other, and to look out for each other, and it affects our worship. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, what is that? If you've come to church to worship. And there, remember that your brother has something against you. And that doesn't necessarily mean that there's something wrong with the brother. That might mean there's something wrong with you. Or maybe there's something wrong. Maybe there's something wrong with both of you. I don't know. Or something's up. Leave your gift there before the altar. Stop. Don't fake it and bring your gift there. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Make sure that your attitude and your relationships are right. Worship is more than an outward display. In charismatic circles, we emphasize, you know, clapping our hands and dancing and singing in the Spirit. And all of that is wonderful. Does God delight in that outward display? Absolutely He does. Absolutely He does. We encourage it. You know, when I was talking about having, you know, big meetings and stuff, I don't have anything against churches that have exuberant, lively worship and they've got lots of instruments. All of that is great. But the foundation of it needs to be right. As long as it's accompanied by the inward attitude, make sure that God is pleased with your offering. Make sure that He's pleased with your attitude. And make sure that He's pleased with your relationships. Then there's freedom to worship and be right. I think that Abel, when he brought that lamb, the very best of his flock, and he offered its life, there was something there of Abel giving his very best in his innocent heart, saying, God, I just want to give you the firstborn, the best of everything I have. It's yours. As opposed to Abel's probably very arrogant offering of the work of his hands. Glory to God. Oh, I forgot to mention, next week, I'm just so delighted, we're going to have Dick Grout come from Elam Bible Institute and College. He's a teacher. I don't know what his title really is. He's a teacher there. Teaches praise and worship. And he's going to come down and share with us next week. He'll probably get to do all the fun teaching that I was looking forward to doing. He's excited to come down, and I think he's going to do a little bit of worship as well with us. So I encourage you to come and be part of that for next week. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give us, that we as such imperfect people, we're allowed to come to you even when our attitudes and things about us aren't right, but yet you want to purify our hearts. So Father, we want to offer up that precious offering like Abel brought, not like Cain brought. Lord, where our offering, Lord, would be in spirit and in truth, where our attitude would be one where we come not hoping to receive something just for ourselves, but give you the honor and glory and praise due your name as our wonderful God that has done so much for us. And Lord, help us with our relationships one with another, Father. Help us to have hearts that are right. And Lord, where we have blind spots, where we just don't see things sometimes, or we look at something for so long that we just don't see it anymore. Lord, I know you've convicted me about something this week that I just was something that needs to go from my life, but it's been there and I just overlook it. Father, I pray that you would purify our worship and help us to bring that precious offering like Abel brought. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you're here this morning and you would like prayer, we have people who would like to pray for you. And we believe God, just as we said, He is the God of miracles. And if you need a miracle, come up and give Him a chance. Glory to God. And if you're not in need of a miracle right now, God bless you. Have a great week. And come next week. We're going to enjoy having our brother Dick Rout from Elam come down. God bless you.